Oregon's May election ballot is all set as of a few hours ago. The filing deadline came last night, so now the campaigns get into gear for the May 20th election. We've known for months now that Jackson County voters would make a decision about libraries in the May primary. Measure 15-122 would form a library district covering all of Jackson County but separate from county government. This would get the libraries away from the county's ever-tightening budget cycles, which already forced libraries to close for a few months in 2007. Kathy Shaw is the campaign manager for Libraries for All Jackson County and is our guest here on the Jefferson Exchange. Obviously, this is the pro Measure 15-122 side. Kathy, thanks for joining us on the Exchange.
Thank you for having me.
So, well, we have some recent history here. There was the closure of the libraries in 2007. Libraries shut down after a failed levy, wasn't it?
That's correct.
And then reopened with something like outsourced management, no union, and fewer hours and employees.
The hours were significantly cut.
All right. So without some action, what do you foresee happening to libraries in Jackson County if there isn't something like the formation of this district?
I actually could not predict that. It really depends on the county commissioners and the county budget committee. The county has said that if this does not pass, that all the outlying libraries will close and the Medford main branch will stay open. But I think, that's always dependent upon revenues and if they have enough money, they actually could keep libraries open for longer. But libraries are basically kept open now at the whim of the county commissioners and the county budget committee. So in November, when we elect two new commissioners, irrespective of money availability, they could make a decision to just close the libraries and be done with it.
So at this point, libraries are funded out of the county general fund along with a host of other programs.
The discretionary fund, yes. Most of the discretionary fund goes to the sheriff's department. And then a small couple percent goes to management, administration, that sort of thing, commissioner salaries and so on. A little bit goes towards health and human services. A lot of that's pass-through money, not discretionary. And then, of course, you have animal control and, few other ancillary things. The, the agricultural extension, which is about $200,000 a year. They're also cutting that. That's going out on a service levy, which is different than a special district, or a service district, which is different than a special district.
Okay, so all right, this is a special district?
This is a special district. Special district, when you think special district, think school district or Rogue Valley Transportation District or fire district.
Mm-hmm.
In the outlying areas. You have a separately elected board that makes the decisions for whatever entity it is funding. So in this case, it would move libraries completely out from underneath the Jackson County Board of Commissioners and the Jackson County Budget Committee and put it underneath a separately elected board.
This was referred by the commissioners, is that right?
That's correct.
And so the essence of what happens here is you do an overlay and your special district becomes the entire county?
Yes. In this particular instance, the special district becomes the entire county. And so Jackson County commissioners can vote to have all the unincorporated areas included in the special district. But each of the cities must make a vote, the city government must make a vote to determine if they want to be included in the district. In this particular instance, every single city in Jackson County voted to be included in the special district. And it began with Butte Falls, where I used to live.
All right. So that's 10 different cities in Jackson County, right?
Uh-huh. I mean, something like that, yes.
All right, yeah. Right around 10, anyway.
Uh-huh.
So the plan then would be, if this passes, that the district and the county government are separate. The library district is self-supporting, self-funded, all that stuff.
Yes, it would completely separate us from the county.
The approach has obviously evolved over time. There have been levies in the past. In fact, I remember there was one just before the libraries closed in 2007, and it was a warning levy in a sense that, like, if you don't vote for this, these libraries will close. The vote was no, the libraries closed. There must have been a fair amount of kicking different ideas around about how to approach libraries this time around.
I don't remember a lot of discussion. It's sort of complicated because people typically will mix up two different things. In the case of the libraries, they say, gee, we spent all this money on these buildings and they're very nice. And some people refer to the size of the building in downtown Medford and that there are too many libraries and so on and so forth. And so that's all mixed in with the, and now you say you can't afford to fund them. The fact of the matter is that before Measure 47, the library levy that was passed,
And Measure 47 was the mid-90s, 96, wasn't it?
Yes, yes. Yeah. And then it was...
And this was the one that actually reduced property tax valuations and let them increase by no more than 3% a year.
Actually, in some ways it reduced it, but it was more complicated than that because it rolled all existing levies together.
Yeah, it did a lot of other things. And there was also the you had to have a certain number of people, you had to have a majority voting in 11 elections.
A supermajority, yeah, that was a part of it as well, that you had to, in any off-year elections, you had to have at least a 50% voter turnout in order to pass it. And the first one we did after that was the flood bond here in Ashland, and although we had... But basically, they're looking for 25% yes vote of all registered voters, mm-hmm. if you think about it. And
so essentially, the point being that there was so much stuff rolled into Measure 47, and one of the things that Measure 47 did was take what was a levy just for the libraries and roll it into all of county levies.
It wasn't just the libraries. It was in Ashland, for example, it was the band that was a separate perpetual levy. It removed all perpetual levies. It also wrapped into that the historic levy for Jackson County, or wasn't even, that was, again, a perpetual levy that set up at the turn of the century. So it rolled in the criminal justice system. All of those levies were rolled into, and you could create one brand new tax base. So, but you wouldn't have to go back out to a vote. So that lasted and worked for about 11 years. And I want to say that, and the time that the library money was moved over to fund the sheriff's department and libraries were closed, libraries were still operating under the exact same millage that they had last been approved by the voters. So when people said, gee, you build all these big libraries and blah, 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 and you can't live within your means, actually libraries were living under the exact same millage that they had passed at the last levy. But that's sort of water under the bridge at this point. Can the commissioners take that money as they did and use it for other purposes? Yes, they can. What is different about this is that once a district is formed, it completely and forever severs the libraries from the county government, and the libraries are governed by a completely separately elected board.
Kathy Shaw is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking about Jackson County's vote coming up in the May 20th election on libraries, Measure 15-122. She's the campaign manager of Libraries for All Jackson County. You can join us at 800-838-3760 anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782 by email jx@jeffnet.org. Let's come back again to this issue of the building of the libraries, because I hear this one a lot. You built these big libraries. Why can't you afford to run them?
Yeah, so as I said, the libraries were operating under the exact millage that the voters had approved. But oftentimes, and I get this with voters, you don't realize that you have operating and maintenance money, and then you have building money, and they're very separate. They're completely different from each other. And right now, in fact, until 2020, the bond is still being paid off on library improvements. Let me just note that voters indicated back then that they wanted a downtown library in Medford that would also house RCC's library. Those two are combined, and that dictated the size of that building. When you look at other libraries, every single community determined how they wanted their libraries to look and the size. Within each of the communities, people did different fundraising efforts to create those buildings. Sometimes land was dedicated, sometimes rooms were funded and dedicated by individuals. Sometimes grants were written. Subsequent to that, when libraries were closed and then reopened under truncated hours, different communities decided to do different things in order to extend hours. Ashland increased the millage that it was paid within the city. Some in Rogue River, businesses underwrote libraries so that they would have Saturday hours. In Talent, there was a surcharge placed on the monthly bills that the city put out. So every community had different things that they did to augment their hours. Shady Cove, to other areas, did fundraising. Some areas, Rouge sold knitted caps. I mean, you have all these people doing things to extend their hours for their libraries. Some libraries are only open 8 hours a week. The library with the most hours is Ashland, because Ashland voters had determined that they wanted more hours and were willing to fund it. So right now it's a big mishmash of different things. But one thing is certain, whether this passes or not, library buildings will have to remain library buildings because of the previously passed bond until 2020. If the county mothballs, closes the libraries, it costs $500,000 a year just to mothball Medford. So, you know, obviously books cannot be stored in freezing cold or super hot buildings. You have to maintain a very specific atmosphere. So our best bet is to keep them open and useful for people and hopefully extend hours and days.
Let us take a call. Here's Chuck in Klamath Falls. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking about the library district vote in Jackson County with Kathy Shaw, who is pro-libraries. Chuck, go ahead.
Yeah, this is Chuck Wells, and I've been chair of the Klamath County Library Service District since 2000. And back in 1995, why we were in the same situation as the hat knitters and other people. And we had in Chiloquin a branch library that was supported by local subscription at 25 cents a week or $20 a month or all kinds of support. So we were able to get a library levy for 3 years, and in 2000, why we had an election for a library service district. The service district, the Board of County Commissioners are the Board of Directors of the service district. So you have an inbuilt conflict of interest, and frankly, commissioners don't really recognize that they are wearing a different hat. They cannot use the funds for anything except for the library, but then they have the right to have the library be charged for county services, so that's how you can put the raid on the county support. We have 13 branches. We have member from each of those on our advisory county committee, and so I would really recommend to the people in your county that you go for a special district, because then you have your own board, and it's not a game of badges versus books.
All right. Thanks for that, Chuck. Appreciate that. Like Kathy Shaw, this is what you were talking about earlier, why this is not a service district. It's a special district in Jackson County, a separate entity completely from the county.
Yes. A service district basically still filters the money through the Board of Commissioners. Prior to this decision, the Board of Commissioners rolled out a poll. And one of the questions that was asked of the Jackson County voters was, you know, do you want your library still managed by Jackson County Board of Commissioners and the county administrator, and then also the county budget committee? And then they also asked a series of questions about money. And so it was clear, overwhelmingly, people wanted libraries out from underneath the Board of Commissioners, and in part because the money was, the last levy was rolled into and basically eventually, like Chuck said, used for badges rather than books. The other question that was asked was, would you prefer 40 cents per thousand, 50 cents per thousand, or 60 cents per thousand? 60 cents per thousand is very close to what we were levying voters in the before libraries closed. With each increase of a dime per thousand, support of the library district increased. Now you would think, well, wait a minute, you know, everybody's anti-tax, blah, blah, blah. But the deal is this. Clearly, people wanted this taken care of. They didn't want to pass a library district for 40 cents per thousand and then continue to sell cupcakes for, Saturday hours. So, and remember also that this is a ceiling. It is not a floor that we are voting on. Once you put out a library district millage, it can't go up without a vote of the people. So it becomes your ceiling, and it's important to come in with an amount that is close to what is necessary to give the voters what they want.
So the amount you've settled on for a tax rate would be 60 cents per $1,000
exactly.
Assessed valuation.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so for a $100,000 house, you'd spend 60 bucks a year, $150,000, 90 bucks a year.
Exactly.
Along those zones.
Yeah.
the major selling point here with anything like this is how do you convince the tax reluctant, the people who are thinking, well, I don't want to pay any more in property taxes than I am now?
Well, for 30 years, I've been tracking Jackson County voters, where we move and where we live and how we vote wherever we live. I put all of that information into both an encyclopedia for politics, which is an online encyclopedia. It's also in my book, The Campaign Manager, Running and Winning Local Elections, which just came out in fifth edition. And basically, what I noticed prior to 2008, what I noticed was that there was a very specific area in Jackson County where people would swing. So they would move one way or the other. And there are other areas where you could predict voter behavior within 1%. So 1% in, for example, in Precinct 2, which is everything above the Boulevard in Ashland, is about 34 votes. So I could come in and predict exactly voting behavior given a very specific turnout within 1%, with the exception of five precincts. Those five precincts, the only five precincts in Jackson County that have any swing are where I focus my attention on any given campaign. So if you know, and then in what happened in 2008, as you know, President Obama won Jackson County by about 47 votes. That's with about 11% registration advantage Republicans in Jackson County back then. So we have a very specific type of voter that happens at the top of the ballot, and then what happened after that was about 8,000 people rolled off the ballot and did not vote for any of the down ballot Democrats. Compare that with Senator McCain and Palin, who received only 100 more votes than any of the down ballot Republicans. So you have a very specific thing that goes on the down ballot race. Typically, you have millennials that roll off. This is not true only in Jackson County. It's true across the nation. You have millennials that roll off on any of the down ballot. They'll roll the top. They'll vote the top and then roll off. Many people will roll off of your ballot. But there's less discipline on the side of people who may support things like libraries, that sort of thing. Then what happened after that in 2010 and 2012 was that there was virtually no swing. So within 1% of any given precinct, I could predict voter turnout and voter behavior given whoever turned out within 1% with no swing anywhere. And this was true not just in Jackson County, which I think is a mirror of everything that goes on across all of the state of Oregon, but is also true nationwide. There's no more swing. Everybody's mind's made up. So if everybody's mind's made up, and it is even in this, there are no more minds to convince. So you have about 40% of Jackson County that will support libraries and about 60% that will vote no. Is that equal in all areas? No. In Ashland, 8 out of every 10 voters who cast a ballot will be a yes vote. In some of the outlying areas in the Upper Rogue, 75% will vote no on it. So you don't apply pressure equally everywhere. You want to find the 40% who are supporting your ballot measure and make sure that they vote, and then you let the rest ride.
It's just turnout. It's just about getting the people who are motivated to vote to turn their ballots in.
Your entire campaign is completely about turnout.
If Measure 15-122 passes, we have a question here from Boyd in Wolf Creek. If the district passes, would staffing options be decided by the new governing board?
Yes.
Could that include not employing LSSI, which is the company that runs the libraries now?
They could do anything, yes. They will determine hours. They will determine, you know, everything. So it's just like the Board of Commissioners determines it all now, although actually technically it falls all under Danny Jordan, because I think the county charter actually gives the library responsibility to the county administrator. But or at some point it went to the county administrator. We've not always had one. But at any rate, yes, the board determines everything.
So is there any implied or real pitch as part of this, and I'm looking at the ballot language in front of me, would expand hours or services at
no,
the libraries anyway?
You can't make those determinations. You can simply say we'd like to move out from underneath the existing governing board, create our own governing board, and allow them to make decisions for us. And the deadline for filing for board positions closed yesterday. And we have six candidates who have thrown their names into the ring. And if you'd like, I'll be happy to go through those.
How many positions?
Six.
Six people for six positions?
Five positions.
Five positions. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, so you have one race. Let's we'll deal with that in a different
format. No, you vote the top five.
You vote the top five. Mm-hmm. So one person of that list would not get on
exactly.
If this district passes.
Yeah.
So you have this prospect then of people voting yes or no on the library district and over there in the other column or somewhere down the ballot voting to put these people on the board potentially.
Exactly.
Got it. Will any other taxing districts, because of the Measure 5 limits, $10 per thousand of non-school local government, be forced into compression?
I don't think anybody's forced into compression at this point.
All right. So that would be to keep everybody under the $10 per thousand for non-school. How's the mood out there? What are you seeing so far? I mean, it's a very scientific kind of approach you're talking about where you just make sure the people who are supporting you turn their ballots in.
Yes, in some precincts we are picking hairs off of a sweater. So it is just, and it's actually been kind of a fun campaign. I broke the county down into seven zones, and most of those zones have been meeting for the last 6 weeks. So about 50 people have been calling through each of their zones. So, for example, let's take the Upper Rug, for example. So Butte Falls has three people that are calling their neighbors. And remember, in this day and age in campaigning, it is really about being personal. The idea of taking big wads of money and throwing it up against the wall to see what sticks, sending copious amounts of mail. For example, in one of the studies that I made for 5th edition, for every 500 pieces of mail that are sent, you activate one voter. A piece of mail to, let's say, Senate District 3 generally costs a campaign about $10,000. So in a campaign like this, it is really not a good idea. It's not cost-effective to send lots of mail, nor do you want to do that. You don't want to activate all voters. You just want to activate your support. So, for example, in the Upper Rogue, do we need to take a break?
Yeah, we're okay. Almost out of time, so just finish the phone.
So you have three people in Butte Falls that are calling, two people in Prospect, two people in Shady Cove, a half dozen in Eagle Point, and then three people in White City. So that's just one zone that's working and has been calling for, and all the zones are out there working. 50 people are calling every week.
Kathy Shaw is the campaign manager for Libraries for All Jackson County, which is the yes side on Measure 15-122. The election is on May 20th. Ballots should go out around May 2nd. Kathy Shaw,
8th.
Thank you so much. May 8th. Okay.